All right, here we go. Hour number two, the Glass in the Afternoon radio program. A very busy, snowy ninth day of February. It is Tuesday. Terry Stultz will be here in an hour for happy hour. We'll get you caught up on everything with hoops, Pacers, and Hoosiers. Our schedule, high school basketball. Well, we got a ton to do. That's why Terry's in every Tuesday, and we will handle all of that with him. Our forecast is not great, but it's not nearly as exciting as it was this time yesterday, where we sat around and wondered, would we get 2 inches? Would we get 3 inches? Maybe more in some places. Maybe it would be less. Well, we had plenty of snow from about 5:15 to about 9:15, at least where I was last night, 5-6 inches in places. But the streets look great. 7th Street and Walnut is perfect. Hopefully our neighborhoods get cleared up. If that's where you live at, our buddy Jordan Davis said, hey, I live in an apartment complex. They take care of all that good stuff. Well, that's right. But where you're at, sometimes the neighborhoods are the most treacherous places because they don't get the most traffic. But everything downtown from where my vantage point is looks pretty good. And we don't have more coming until Wednesday. And what I see on my forecast suggests it's not going to bother us too much. Well, today is Tuesday, right? We could have some snow showers developing after midnight. Wait, this is Tuesday. Wait, this can't be right. That's next week. I was going to say, there's no snow today. I had the 10-day forecast dragging into next week. 28 will be the high if we get that far. 20 overnight. No, there's no chance of snow tonight. Now, tomorrow, that's a different story. Showers developing during the afternoon. Snow showers, 40% chance. Accumulations, though, if we do get it, which is less than a coin flip, will be less than 1 inch. 25 and 17 are our highs and lows. Chance of snow Wednesday night is 30%. So what's that mean? Well, it doesn't sound like anything's going to melt off quickly, and we hope that we don't add any more big numbers to the kitty. 26 and 14 on Thursday. Abraham Lincoln's birthday, 28 and 15, but it's Saturday and Sunday, not because it's the Valentine's Day weekend, because we need to keep an eye on some of these temperatures that didn't affect us last weekend. But here we are on a Tuesday talking about -1 on Saturday night and -5 on Valentine's Day overnight. The high on Saturday is 20. The high on Sunday, Valentine's Day, is 8. So if you procrastinate and wait till Sunday to take care of your business, you will be cold in doing so. Really cold. Updated forecasts and live radar. Find it all at WGCLradio.com. Saturday is actually better than what it was yesterday. So is Friday. So we'll knock on wood that these numbers fall apart like they did for us last week. But that's not always the case. Every Tuesday, we check in at City Hall, and our great friend is Mayor John Hamilton. He joins us. Are you staying warm, my friend?
Hey, at Valentine's Day, we got to find somebody to snuggle up with, I guess. Yeah, I'm staying warm. I tell you, we had street crews out all night, so it's been a stretch. But everybody, be patient and be careful.
Trying to get to all the roads is one thing, but the main drags look great. At least when I was driving in this afternoon, everything was taken care of. That's not easy to do, Mayor Hamilton, because I do the weather 400 times in 3 hours on this program, and we didn't talk once yesterday about more than 2 or 3 inches. That wasn't in the cards. I don't know what the official is, but it was way more than 3 inches, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, we shoveled our walk. I got to go home and shovel it again because it just came. It came over 6 hours or something. I think it just kept coming. It did surprise us, but we had crews out all night, as I mentioned, and I appreciate everybody trying to take care of your walks too, because that's important for all the pedestrians out there. But. Everybody's doing their job, and we'll keep on top of it. We have already used more salt this year than the last 2 years combined. Wow. I heard this morning, and so it's been definitely a heavier winter than the last couple so far.
Interesting, because I guess we've had a couple larger snow events, but it just hasn't been not one a week. It's just been a couple of these, but it just goes to show you how nice it's been the last 2 years that we've forgotten about.
Yeah.
So we're back to, I don't want to call it average, but using that much treatment and that much labor, in a perfect world, we'd love it like the last 2 years, because we know the funds aren't just flowing in like they used to be, but you have to clear the snow off. That's part of the job as a city.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this stuff kind of averages out. It is a little rough this year. We've had less income from the, particularly the gas tax, because people are driving less. But we still need to use it for the street department when it snows, and they're out there. We'll figure it out. We got this year's budget's okay, and I got a few months to figure out next year's budget, so we'll be working on it.
What are you doing? When are we doing that? The state of the city, is that coming up soon, or did I miss that? When are we?
No, that's coming up 2 weeks from Thursday.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
So February 25th at 7 o'clock, we'll be kind of looking back and seeing how we've gotten through 2020, and then looking forward. I encourage everybody to step in. It'll be virtual this year, but we know how to do that.
Lots of practice. Part of me can't believe I asked that question out loud, and the other part of me was happy that it hadn't happened yet. So that's the good news. But we talk every Tuesday.
I heard that little nervous wonder. Did I miss it?
Yeah, so, we talk every Tuesday. There's no way we could have missed that. But the last few days have ran together a little bit. But here we are, the ninth day, the second Tuesday of February. We know in-person classes, I believe, got started yesterday at Indiana University, but students have been quote unquote back here for a few weeks. Our COVID numbers look really good. We have a big holiday weekend, kind of Valentine's Day. We talked about that coming up this weekend, but we're not jumping up into the over 50% for things. We're trying to keep this kind of in the wintertime, slow growth. Explain that and explain our numbers if you would.
Yeah. So, you know, the basic three numbers that I often share in terms of what's the case number load, how many people are getting sick, how many people are in the hospital, and how many people are dying. Those are kind of three basic numbers that are just facts on the ground. And all those are going in the right direction. They're doing better locally. They're doing better in our state. And that's really important. December was really rough, and it's gotten better since then. That's all good. You know, we continue. I'm not loosening up the rules in the city. I don't think it's time yet. I think the indicators are still that there's a threat from, you know, the different variants of this flu are probably in Indiana. We know they're in Indiana. They're probably in Bloomington. It could be way more communicable, so we want to be super careful. We're going to continue to do that. I got a little on Friday. There was a little data shared by the IU Health, and then actually IU confirmed it too. IU Health at this time, this was last Friday, this time last year had 261 flu cases that they'd seen. This year, compared to 261, it was 7. So
that's fantastic.
Like 96% fewer cases of flu. And IU then said they hadn't had a flu case since November or something in their infirmary, if you will. So what that means is these things we're doing are really helping us stop the spread of this disease, and they're incidentally helping flu being transmitted too. So it's to me, that's just kind of another confirming fact that these masks and the distancing and the trying not to share air and being this careful is really helping. If we weren't doing that, you know, we could be in really, really desperate shape from the coronavirus. So I feel like, you know, we got the light at the end of the tunnel. We've now vaccinated over 20,000 people locally. Those numbers go up many hundreds every day. That's the steady work that needs to happen. The IU numbers, as all the students came back and they're doing mitigation testing, were very good. Very low infection rates. So let's not mess up what we're doing. Let's keep doing what we're doing and get to where we want to be by summertime, or maybe, you know, it's hard to predict exactly, but let's keep doing what we're doing. So that was a good indication from that flu number.
And that's interesting, because washing your hands, wiping off surfaces, not coughing and breathing on every, that's kind of how flu gets around as well. So that's not terribly, I had that thought a couple months ago, what the flu season would be like if we're already taking these precautions. And I would think more people with this floating around would get their flu shot as well. to hopefully knock that out. But I think the question that maybe some of our listeners have, Mr. Mayor, will be, it's not going to be one metric that, quote unquote, opens everything back up. What are some of the key signs you are looking for to get 50% to 75%, or what's going to take that next step?
Well, I think it's going to be a combination of continuing to see improvements, because, look, we're way better on hospitalizations and deaths and caseloads, but we are still way above what we were in the spring. We're still at high levels compared to where we were, 8 months ago. So we want to see those come way down. I know the health Penny Cottle has said, we've now gotten our cases per 100,000 below 100. It was over 200. We'd like to see it below 10. That's a long way to go. So we're moving in the right direction, but we want to really tamp it down a lot. We want to see vaccination numbers going up so that we really have a sense that there's a lot of protection. It's really good that the most vulnerable among us, particularly the older, where the real morbidity and mortality hits us as those vaccinations get done, then, we feel better that even if some people get sick, the outcomes won't be very bad, we hope, overall. So it is a mix of a bunch of numbers. It's going to depend. It always depends on what's happening around us, too. We're not an island. We can't, if just because it's good here, it's got to be good around us, too. So this is a gradual march into better weather, if you will. And I think we're moving in the right direction. We will be gradually opening up. It's also going to depend upon people's confidence level, right? I don't know if you're like me. You read an article just recently that said, well, I still wouldn't go sit in a restaurant indoors necessarily in the winter until we got some more progress, So step by step.
Step by step. The good news is we are, as you mentioned, we have the magic one. We are one of, looks to be here, two counties of 92 to have it. But we're surrounded by Lawrence County 1.5, Brown County 1.5, Greene County 1.5, 2 at Owen, and then 2.5 to Morgan to the north. So three yellows and two oranges, that's not terrible, but it, like you said, if we can keep it moving in the right direction. Now, my next question for you is, and this is a math question, and I'm terrible at math, so I always ask people who are better at math than I am, are we still getting tested at levels that we need to, or have we kind of how do I ask this? The testing seems to be down. Is that helping us or hurting us, or am I off base here?
Well, it's kind of complicated, and I don't pretend to be the expert on this. The first thing I'll say is it's really good that we have IU doing thousands of tests a week still. That's just a bunch of data that most places don't have, and that helps us watch out for an eruption here or there, or keeps confirming directional movement on things. So that's really fortunate. We still don't have the robust testing system that many people would have said. We ought to be testing kids and going in and out of school just randomly and watching for things. We ought to maybe be testing teachers randomly. We ought to be testing, we're doing temperature checks of our employees, but we're not really doing monitoring testing, and that may be important down the road. But the lucky thing is IU is doing all those things. They are doing the kind of monitoring mitigation testing in our community that's really helpful to watch for signs of problems. We're not going to have a radical change in testing over the next months, I don't think. That's just
no,
we're going to be
don't
focused
think so
on vaccinations and getting shots in arms and keeping the protocols that we've got in place. So we just got to live with that.
And I think everybody's lived with the fact, too, if they don't have symptoms or they haven't been around anybody who's had it, why do I need to get tested? Why do I have to have that why do I have to have that canoe oar shoved into my brain? That's once.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Wait a minute. Don't scare people that much, Mike. No, come on.
Now, the good news is,
and the other thing that's important, and you hinted at it, is you kind of are supposed to behave the same way whether you got a negative or a positive in a lot of ways. Because even if you got a negative, 6 hours later, you can be positive. So you really just have to stay careful.
Sounds like the vaccination at the convention center is going swimmingly. I see people that have been posting it on Facebook, and usually people like to complain, and I haven't seen too many of that. What's been the feedback you've heard at the convention center?
Yeah, I think people have felt good. You know, I haven't heard any complaints either. I had a funny, I don't know if I can share a quote. There was, it's actually Lauren Rebell, the provost of IU, who got her first vaccine dose. She qualified. And she did say, look, I had my vaccine dose, and I want to report I did have some major side effects, in particular, happiness, hope, a belief in the possibility of seeing my family again and friends, you know. I think there are a lot of people who just feel very good when they get the vaccine that this is happening and coming.
And the other part is you don't hear about wait times or it's backed up or this or that. The system is working well. Does that point the arrow in the direction of hope when we get more of these that we're already executing this plan, when we have to put more people through the system? We should have a pretty good handle on how to do this, right?
Yeah, I'm optimistic that we will be able to handle. And I wish we had twice as much vaccine getting delivered every week. That would be great. Or three times as much. And it'll grow. One of the aces in the hole for us, a great thing, is IU is ready to run a vaccination program. And they've got great capacity to do that at large numbers. And they're just sitting there waiting to get delivered vaccine. Our fire department is ready to deliver vaccines in mobile units and get out to people. So I am optimistic that any dose we get delivered here, we can get it into arms and do it effectively.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. He checks in with us every Tuesday to give us updates on what's happening here in our fair city. So we've COVID-ed it to death. Now, you have a new employee, and I'm not saying anybody can replace Doris Sims. That would be just silly to assume that. But for those that follow the Indiana political world, the new hand director is a name that's very familiar.
Yeah, you know, when Doris announced her resignation, retirement, a couple months ago, we did a process. And when I replace the cabinet, I have a pretty pretty big process of interviewing and applications. And I actually set up a committee of four people that do pretty intensive interviews. And we had really good candidates. I'm very pleased that John Zodi is joining our team. It's going to be in a couple months. He's been the chairman of the Democratic Party for the last 8 years, but don't hold that against him if you're not a political animal. But he's a talented guy. He's a Bloomingtonian. He actually has pretty good familiarity with federal programs too, because he used to run the office for Congressman Hill. He actually long ago used to run CDBG, Community Development Block Grant programs for the state. And so I think he'll be a really good fit. We have a terrific team at hand altogether, deputy director and staff. And housing is a big issue in our community. It's a big issue to me to try to make sure this community stays open to people from all walks of life. So John will be joining us early April, I think.
Outstanding. Now, back to the hire. You talked about dealing with federal programs and things of the such that he's done in the past. How important is that in the hand world for people who don't understand that, Mayor Hamilton?
Well, you know, federal assistance is really important. Hand is a regular annual recipient of a couple important funding streams. Now, truth be told, these streams have gone down a lot in real terms over the last 30 years, 40 years, but they're really still important. Community Development Block Grants, those are federal grants through the Housing and Urban Development Department, and they help push money to us to support sidewalks and infrastructure and housing and other kinds of facilities that neighborhoods need. A second program is the HOME program, H-O-M-E, and that supports affordable housing, and they're more than about $1 million a year comes in for that, which is significant. But the HAND program also runs. We have a very rigorous rental housing inspection program. Every rental unit in Bloomington gets inspected over a cycle of multi-year cycle to make sure it's habitable and safe. And we're really proud of that program, and they run neighborhood cleanup programs, neighborhood outreach programs, all kinds of stuff.
Busy, 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 and that's how it should be. Now, Tom Allen has just hired a new associate head coach and football has gone through these changes. Do you have a list in your drawer when someone from a cabinet position, do you have a list of people that you've already have kind of mapped out for that, or do you just kind of react when it happens?
Well, you know, it's I think in any organization, the people that you have are probably your most important asset, your most important factor of how well you do, and the cabinet of 15 or so people is incredibly important. I'm very proud of the group that we have, and you are aware, I'm aware of, you know, if there's some, if this might change or that might change, who might be out there. I don't know, for me, often people don't know they want to come to work for the city till we talk to them about it. That's recruiting is often important, but you know, Doris was a big loss. She was a 38-year city employee, and we're really pleased to have John join us. But overall, I'm really pleased we have a very stable group of leaders in the cabinet, from, you know, public safety to parks to economic development and public works and all kinds of bus system. And all, we really have a good group of people.
Outstanding, and that's not surprising. And it's busy. Bloomington is growing. Bloomington is has plenty of things going on, and one of them is the public safety report. This was, I believe, the fifth annual public safety report that was presented. Tell us what we might have missed there.
Yeah, you know, I 5 years ago, I said there's really kind of that's one of the most important things that a city does is protect public safety, and I instituted an annual. Just a check back in February of how the last year went. This is the fifth year we're doing that. And I had the police chief, the fire chief, and Director Calendar Anderson of the Community Family Relations reported. We did that today. People can check it out online if you didn't see it. But it was basically reporting from the police side. Crime is down. Actually, crimes against people, kind of what we think about as violent crimes, are 20% down, which is really good. The flip side of that is crimes that involve guns went up 50%, 52% this year over last year, and that had gone up last year. So we're really, you know, concerned about the guns and how they're showing up in town. That's really scary. Fire department had a great year with no fatalities in the city from fires and another save of a life. That means 10 lives saved over the last 4 years. By our fire department, and zero fatalities over that period. You know, it was a busy year last year with protests and advocacy, and we're really active in thinking about police reform and changing the way we think about public safety. So it was a full report about that with data, but also some of the softer reports about things that are going on in the community. And I hope people are really proud of the progressive public safety efforts we have and the people. 250 plus people who work around the clock for us to help keep the city safe. So we talked about that this morning.
And the other part in that public safety report, I know that was had a lot of public acrimony. We're not hearing about 1,000 reports of the Lenco Bearcat. I don't want to open old wounds, but the point of having these reviews is to see how it is or isn't used. And here we are.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting how that was a very hot issue 2 years ago or so, to have what we call an armored rescue vehicle. It's a vehicle that can be used when there are firearms and threats involved to human life and real danger. I felt it's important to have. If we don't have one and we have a situation, then we got to rely on some other police department to come in and deal with our situation.
Yeah,
and
no
I think
thanks.
We've
right.
got the best police department around. So it's been deployed very rarely. It's reported on every time it is. And I hope the fact that transparency and careful use has quieted that down in general. There are still people who don't think we should have it.
But, well, that's fine. The usage part of it was what a lot of people were worried about. There'd be some kind of secret way this was deployed. And that's just we try to point out that wasn't going to be the case. But that's okay. I understand. We're not going to get – everybody can't agree on ice cream flavors or pizza toppings. They're not going to agree on such issues such as this. You want to put some solar energy back in our community. How can we get involved with that?
Yeah, I'm really happy. Thanks for asking. We just announced recently the some grants and loans that are part of a what we call a SEEL program, C-S-E-E-L, Solar and Energy Efficiency Loans. And this is part of our Recover Forward, trying to help move us into the new economy and help jobs. And these are loans and grants that can be used by nonprofit organizations or schools or daycare centers, medical facilities, libraries, grocery stores, others. You can check it out. There's actually a webinar on Thursday at 1 o'clock that can introduce you to this. But if you're involved in any of that, these are loans and grants that can help you improve the energy efficiency in your building. This is a twofer because it helps create jobs, it helps lower your costs for that kind of facility, and it helps lower our carbon footprint and do the right thing. So I'm really hopeful that people will take a look at that. It's moving us in the right direction.
And one thing to wrap us up today, every time we have a historic designation come up, it seems like it's like a lot of issues these days. We all either move to the right side of the aisle or the left side of the aisle, which has nothing to do, but we're either for it or against it, but there doesn't seem to be I want people to understand why these things happen. And again, you don't have to like it. I'm more of a why guy than anybody can make up their own mind, but the Players Pub building has been in this jet wash for a while. Where are we? Help me out.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. There's, I guess, at one end, your city could be a Williamsburg, where you just preserve everything and live like you used to be. On the other end of the spectrum, you can be a wild, wild west, where anything can get built and torn down and all. And nobody typically wants to live at either end of that spectrum. And figuring out where we want to be as a community, how to preserve things that are valuable and historic and worth legally protecting is always a challenge. We have ways to designate particular buildings. And just this week, the city council had two buildings in front of it, and they tipped yes on one building and no on the other building. And that's a complicated discussion. They tipped yes on the hospital, what's called the core building, K-O-H-R, the oldest part of the hospital, to say we want to preserve that building on the northwest corner of First and Rogers.
Yeah.
And they voted no on the Players Pub building, also known as the Boxman building, which is there on Walnut. And, it's really a question of, do you want to allow change or not? And I think I personally think both those decisions were probably right. The Players Pub, I've loved that building and have a lot of good memories in it, but it's a rough facility. It's a rough building. It's not handicap accessible. It's really hard to make work. And really I think it's probably right to let something new happen there. Maybe put a nice plaque up to talk about what happened there in the past.
Well, that's the interesting part
of
it.
I'm sorry.
Right. No,
we have a Historic Preservation Commission. That is a city commission that reviews these things and makes recommendations. And then it goes to the 9 city council members, and they hear and they vote. And that's what they did this week.
Yeah. And then that's the interesting part, because I don't think people perhaps know how it works, or the chain of command, if you will, on how we get to that part. But it goes through a process, and sometimes we just catch the headlines, Mayor Hamilton. We don't read maybe to the last paragraph. So thanks for helping us out here. And again, you don't have to like it. We're not talking about liking of anything. We're talking about how the process works. So if you want to get on a board or a commission, there's ways to do that.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you join us. Get on the website and look at it. And I love, we can get deep into process, but that's democracy, and it's complicated. And nobody's going to agree 100% on most of this stuff, but that's how we stumble our way forward and try to make more good decisions than bad, and learn from any mistakes we make and do a little better each day.
And interacting on the local level is probably one of the ways you can make significant change. We'd all love to dream and have it big picture, but if you start here and take care of here first, well, that's a good start as well. So if you want to get involved with it, find a way to get involved with it and make your voices heard. You can do so here in our fair city. Valentine's Day weekend is Valentine's Day. Don't procrastinate, boys and girls. It's going to be 8 and -5 on Sunday, so make sure you got enough firewood and make sure your pipes are open. We had this discussion last Tuesday, and we cried wolf, wolf, wolf because it never got this cold, but we're going to have it again because we don't want broken pipes on such a holiday. We don't want to have any of that trouble with any of this happening. So let's make sure we're taking care of our home. homes, especially some of the older ones here that could be historic in Bloomington.
Yeah. Opening your cabinet doors for those pipes that are on the outer walls can be smart. And if you need to, even leave a drip running. And call CBU if you have any problems. They'll be happy to help you.
They want to be, like we all do, preventative medicine. They don't want – yes, they will help you. How do you deal with a burst pipe? Let's not get to that point. And nothing says I love you more than not letting your pipes freeze. So there's your present.
There you go.
There's your best advice I can – you won't find that on one of those little candy hearts, will you?
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, Mayor Hamilton, we appreciate your time and your insight as always. The sense of humor is always good as well. We know that life is a little tough these days, so we try to bring a little sunshine and great information at the same time, and we thank you. Let's do it again next Tuesday, please.
Always a pleasure, Mike. Have a good week, everybody, and I'll talk to you next week.